This is KGNU's Morning Magazine. It's Tuesday, June 13th of 2023. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Coming up on today's program, Colorado insurance regulators have reached a tentative agreement with Cigna as part of an effort to create an affordable public option in the state. Eating this marine creature can help stave off type 2 diabetes, according to a new study. That story and more in This Week in Water. And looking to learn a new skill or get creative? We'll hear from a workshop leader at the Denver Center for the Performing Arts about one of the center's latest offerings. At the bottom of the hour, we'll have an update from the BBC News headlines. Then it's How on Earth. Host Shelley Schlender sits down with a co-founder of the Boulder Society for Scientific Exploration. They'll discuss how so-called fringe science and intuition can benefit scientific discovery. At 9 a.m. comes another archival recording of The Wit and Wisdom of Alan Watts. Then at 9:30, Ginger Perry will be in the Boulder studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. That's all still ahead, but first, a look at the headlines with KGNU's John Kellen.
The Denver Nuggets won this year's NBA crown by knocking off the Miami Heat last night in Game 5 of their best-of-seven series. Final score, Nuggets 94, the Heat 89. Post-game celebrations following the win turned potentially lethal, with reports of several shootings that put three people in the hospital in critical condition. The Denver Post is reporting that at least 10 people were shot during the celebrations, including a suspect. The three people in critical condition were shot near the Market and 20th Street intersection. That's where a possible suspect was arrested. Other shootings occurred on Tremont and Blake Streets. Unsettled weather continues to cause problems in Colorado, with no end in sight to all the wet weather. Hail pounded parts of downtown Boulder yesterday, which, along with up to 2 inches of rain, flooded several streets and strained the city's stormwater infrastructure. The city's director of utilities told Boulder Reporting Lab he's confident the system can withstand it all, but the city is cautioning people to avoid underpasses. Elsewhere, a flood watch was in effect in the Denver area for much of yesterday. Flooding led to the closure of parts of Highway 6 in West Denver. East and westbound lanes were closed for several hours but reopened by mid-afternoon. The National Weather Service also issued tornado warnings yesterday for Lincoln County and parts of El Paso County. Nearly 500 flights were delayed at Denver International Airport, with 27 of them canceled, according to FlightAware. Governor Jared Polis this year vetoed more bills approved by state lawmakers than in any other year since he took office. Now in his second term, the governor vetoed 10 bills approved in the legislative session that ended last month. That compares to 5 vetoes in his first year in office, 3 in his second year, and 4 each in his third and fourth years, according to the Colorado Sun. Governor Polis did, however, sign a bill Monday which requires Colorado prisons to reform the way restraints are used on mentally ill inmates. KGNU's Steve Miller explains.
The bill, HP 23-1013, requires the State Department of Corrections to conform with the regulations of the National Commission on Correctional Health Care on the use of restraints. According to a report compiled by Disability Law Colorado, the department is accused of chaining inmates to beds for hours at a time with little medical oversight and unclear guidelines for initiating or ending seclusion. The Denver Post reports that under the new law, which Governor Polis signed Tuesday, Colorado prisons have until 2027 to adopt the National Commission's more rigorous standards, which include the use of soft restraints rather than metal cuffs, the direct and routine involvement of healthcare professionals, and regular checks on restrained inmates. The bill also requires better documentation on the use of restraints, and the Correction Department must submit annual reports to legislators detailing that tracking. It also regulates the use of involuntary medication on inmates. For KGNU, I'm Steve Miller.
The Denver City Council has unanimously approved a $450,000 settlement with the family of an 18-year-old gunshot victim. Jelante Jones bled to death from his wounds in September 2020. Two Denver police officers who answered a call about the gunfire stood by and did nothing for 10 minutes, even as Jones begged for their help, according to the Department of Public Safety. One of the officers was later fired and the other resigned. Authorities in Weld County are investigating the fatal shooting by Greeley police of an armed man who held police at bay for 5 hours yesterday. KG News' Jacob Agatston has the story.
Greeley police officers fatally shot a 35-year-old man Monday morning. The shooting occurred after a five-hour-long standoff between law enforcement and the man, who had barricaded himself inside a garage. The standoff began after officers responded to a call of shots being fired shortly before 5 in the morning. According to a press release, the man was in a duplex when police arrived. They first tried to get him to surrender, but he fired another shot before moving to a garage on the property. Officers tried to apprehend the man with less lethal munitions and irritants. Around 9:30 a.m., police exchanged gunfire with the man and fatally wounded him. The man's identity has not yet been made public, pending notification of next of kin. For KGNU, I'm Jacob Agatston.
Denver has new codes in place for homeowners building smaller second units, known as accessory dwelling units, on their properties. But a key part of the old rules are still in place. KGNU's Colette Zarnicki has this report.
From Denver's urban alleys to its suburban backyards, over the past year, city officials have been crafting policies for accessory dwelling units, also known as ADUs. New rules by Denver's city officials will be placed next month concerning ADUs. Some policymakers regard ADUs as a way to address the affordable housing crisis in Denver and have been chipping away at legal barriers to putting them on the rental market. However, one barrier still remains in effect, and that is that the homeowner still has to live on the property if they want to build or rent out an ADU. Hurdles that city officials removed this year included the minimum lot size requirement to build detached second housing units and restricting the conversion of garages into ADUs. Properties with duplexes and row homes can also add ADUs now as well. Denver's main city planner, Abe Barge, told the Denver Post around one-third of the city allows ADUs, and close to 450 ADUs have been authorized in the city since 2010. Not everyone advocates for accessory dwelling units, though. Residents in District 10's densely populated neighborhoods, including Capitol Hill, did not sway their no at all. With everything considered, the new rules begin for plans submitted after July 5th. For KGNU, I'm Colette Zarnicki.
Today's weather forecast, a mostly cloudy day, but more rain is on the way. There's a 60% chance of rainfall in the Metro Denver area, mainly this afternoon. Moving into the evening, a 20% chance of rain with gradual clearing. The high in Denver today is 67 degrees. Look for a high of 63 in Boulder, 66 in Fort Collins, and higher up in Nederland, the high is expected to be 51. For KGNU, I'm John Kellen.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm your host, Shannon Young. The state of Colorado has, for years now, been exploring ways to create a state option to make healthcare here more affordable. It's been a long and complex process, but it does appear to be moving ahead. Yesterday, the Colorado Division of Insurance announced the insurance company Cigna canceled a scheduled public hearing option because the sides had reached a tentative agreement to bring down costs for consumers. Joining me now to give the details of what this means and where the process stands is Adam Fox of the Colorado Consumer Health Initiative. Good morning.
Good morning.
So can you start us off with the context? This is a pretty complicated process, and a lot of the information is very jargon heavy. In plain English, where are things in the process of creating a state option, and who would benefit?
Sure. In 2021, Colorado passed legislation to create sort of our version of a public option that I would really call sort of a quasi-public option. Essentially, we are setting the standards at the state level for these plans, but it is still private insurance companies that are offering them. And so these plans became available in the market for the 2023 plan year, so the current year we're in. But there was still a component that hadn't been implemented in the regulatory structure. And that's really these public hearings that we're talking about right now, because those are the mechanism that sort of set the standard for if an insurance company is not lowering premiums as they are supposed to under the law, they have to go through a hearing process. And essentially what we're starting to see, and with Cigna being the first example, is that the public hearing is encouraging and incentivizing the insurance companies and the hospitals to negotiate some lower reimbursement rates, which consequently will help lower premiums.
And as you mentioned, that public hearing, there was one scheduled for today, but it's been vacated. What exactly happened, and what does it mean?
Sure. Essentially, what has happened is in the case of Cigna, they were not going to be able to meet the premium reductions in all of their plans. They were meeting them on their silver level plans, but they were missing the 10% premium reductions adjusted for inflation on their bronze and gold level plans. And so they were slated to go to a public hearing. They filed a complaint against several hospitals that they said were preventing them in some respects from meeting those premium reductions because their reimbursements were too high. And at the same time, our division of insurance filed a cross complaint, pulling in a few additional hospitals that they said were also preventing Cigna from meeting some of the premium reductions. And what has happened is that in Cigna's case, they have essentially reached settlements or agreements with the hospital entities that were identified, and supposedly achieved sort of the maximum reduction in reimbursement for those hospitals that is required under the law for this year. And so that sort of removes the need in some respects for a public hearing, though I think we are still looking forward to the opportunity for sort of the broader hearing on the individual market for consumers to weigh in on how high premiums and high costs of health coverage are really impacting them.
And there are other hearings scheduled for with other insurers scheduled for later this month. Do you think these other companies will follow suit?
That's right. There are several hearings scheduled for next week for Rocky Mountain Health Plans, Kaiser, and Anthem. I think we have seen some similar movement in those cases towards settlement between the insurance company and hospitals or some level of agreement. I'm not sure that we will see it to quite the same extent that we saw in Cigna. So I think we do expect at least one or two of those probably to go to a full public hearing. I think we're just sort of waiting to see how that plays out. As we've seen with Cigna, things sort of came down to the wire and we didn't know that the settlements had been sort of accepted and agreed upon until yesterday. And so we may not know until just before these other hearings are scheduled.
So we're still kind of in the earlier parts of this process, it seems like. Where do you see the timeline for this quasi-public state option?
I think this is really the first year that all elements of the Colorado option, as these plans are called, are fully implemented. And so this is the first time we're going through the public hearing process. So in some ways, it is a little bit of a learning experience as to how these hearings are going to function, how Coloradans can best engage in that process, and what it's going to look like going forward. But I think what I would emphasize is that this is really sort of a historic opportunity that doesn't really exist in other states. And there are going to be opportunities for Coloradans to weigh in on how health insurance premiums and health costs are affecting them through this process. And that seems to be a pretty strong incentive for the insurance carriers and the hospitals to come to some level of agreement based on what we've seen.
Adam Fox, in our final minute, is there anything else that you would like to add that listeners should know?
I would say that people need to be aware that these Colorado option plans are available in both the individual and the small employer, small business markets. And so these are options that are standardized. They offer more robust benefits before somebody has to pay out-of-pocket costs. And they have really been designed to provide particular benefits that can help people maintain their health and address health inequities. And so we're really excited to see that this process does seem to be providing the intended benefits of reducing costs. But it's still really important for Coloradans to review their options and participate in some of these processes, because that's ultimately what's going to keep sort of the pressure on to reduce costs.
Adam Fox is with the Colorado Consumer Health Initiative. Thanks so much for coming on the morning. Thanks so much for your time this morning and explaining these complex issues to our listeners.
Thanks for having me.
Up next is This Week in Water with Jamie Sudler and Franny Halperin.
Why curly-haired people are cooler. That story and more on H2O Radio's weekly news report. I'm Jamie Sudler.
I'm Franny Halperin, and it's This Week in Water.
On Tuesday, June 6th, a major hydroelectric dam on the Dnipro River in Ukraine was blown up, which will likely have devastating impacts not only on thousands of people in agriculture, but also on ecosystems.
While it remains unclear who bombed the 68-year-old Kakhovka Dam, the flooding from the reservoir behind it threatened drinking water, irrigation, and hydropower.
The floodwaters are contaminated with sewage waste and dead animals, which can cause waterborne diseases such as cholera and diarrhea, according to the UN's relief agency.
About 150 tons of oil products from the dam's power plant were released and could go all the way to the Black Sea, threatening soils, vegetation, and wildlife.
The Ukrainian Prosecutor General's Office is investigating the dam breach as a war crime and possible ecocide or criminal environmental destruction.
A Ukrainian environmental NGO said on its website that it will take a minimum of 7 to 10 years to restore fish stocks along the Dnipro River and the reservoir, which was habitat for more than 40 species.
In addition, national parks were flooded, likely causing irreparable harm to flora and fauna. The journal Nature reports that 9 sites in a European-wide conservation area called the Emerald Network, and also 5 important wetlands were flooded.
The river is a front line of the conflict, and another threat is from mines that have been planted along it and might have been swept away to other locations. It could take weeks or even years to know the full consequences from the destruction of the dam.
The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Climate Prediction Center announced last week that El Niño is present and is likely to grow, affecting weather around the world and increasing the average global temperature.
El Niño conditions bring unusually warm temperatures to the sea surface in the tropical areas of the Central and Eastern Pacific Ocean. This year has scientists worried because excess warming from climate change, along with El Niño, could result in record heat.
Reuters reports that even before the conditions started, in May, the average global sea temperature on the surface was 0.1 degrees Celsius higher than any on record, which could supercharge extreme weather.
In the U.S. during El Niño years, it's wetter than average from Southern California to along the Gulf Coast. However, it usually brings drier weather to the Pacific Northwest and a potentially warmer winter across northern states.
El Niño is usually associated with flooding in the Philippines and Indonesia, droughts in Australia, and more hurricane activity in the Atlantic Ocean.
Sea cucumbers are worm-like creatures that live on the ocean floor and, as their name suggests, have a body shape that resembles a cucumber.
While you wouldn't want to pop a sea cucumber into your salad, according to a new study led by the University of South Australia, eating them can help stave off type 2 diabetes.
Researchers found that by drying sea cucumbers and processing them with salt extracts, the resulting powder inhibited the formation of compounds called advanced glycation end products, or AGEs, which form in the body when proteins and/or fats combine with sugars in the bloodstream.
Elevated AGEs can increase diabetic complications and have been linked to heart disease, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and cancer. The finding is promising because currently there are no therapeutics to prevent AGEs from forming in the body.
Sea cucumbers were already known to have a range of health benefits, including anti-inflammatory and antioxidant properties, and have been employed in traditional Chinese medicine for centuries.
And while they are good for our health, they are vital for the well-being of marine ecosystems, where they recycle organic matter on the seafloor and have been found to protect coral reefs.
And finally, as we've said, El Nino is officially here and we can expect hotter temperatures. But some good news if you've got curly locks. According to a new study, you'll be able to take the heat better than those of us with straight hair.
Researchers at Penn State wanted to understand the role hair texture played in regulating body temperature in early humans who lived in hot equatorial Africa, where the sun was overhead for much of the day, especially as our ancestors began walking upright and their scalps took the brunt of the solar rays.
In their study, they exposed mannequins with four different hair types: bald, straight hair, moderately curly hair, and tightly curled hair to heat lamps.
They found that all hair reduced solar radiation to the scalp, but tightly curled hair provided the best heat protection while minimizing the need to sweat to stay cool, which would help conserve water and avoid dehydration.
They believe tightly curled hair offers more protection because it doesn't lie flat and provides more distance between the top of the hair and the scalp. But even more fascinating, they say that tight curls also allowed early human brains to grow to sizes comparable to ours.
That's because the larger the brain, the more heat it generates, which, if excessive, risks dangerous conditions like stroke. The authors say as humans evolved and became smarter, scalp hair likely got curlier to keep those bigger heads cool.
That's it for this week in Water. We'll see you next time.
Looking to pick up a new skill this summer? Justin Walvoord is a stage and voice actor who also teaches at the Denver Center for the Performing Arts. He spoke with KGNU's Benita Lee about his popular series of voice acting courses at DCPA and why he thinks so many people want to get into this area of performing.
Acting came about for me when I was in elementary school doing school plays, and I remember taking a tour of a professional theater company in Southern California and slamming the brochure on my kitchen table and telling my dad to sign me up for classes. And I never looked back since. So I've worked as an actor on stage for many, many a moon, and that started to evolve into working on camera, off camera, and doing voiceover as well.
As far as voice acting versus acting on stage, do you have a preference, or is it something that you like to mix it up and do these different things?
I go where the work is available to me. Of course, I love being on stage. I love interacting with your fellow cohorts on stage and being able to really play and have those connections and beautiful moments of discovery that happen. It's just a little bit of different nature and different world, right? Sometimes you're able to bounce off another artist, but most often you're working on your own in the studio there. So I love that sense of play that you have on stage.
Do you have a favorite kind of character that you like to play when you're doing voice acting?
That's the wonderful gift of VO, is that you are able to be anybody and everybody you want to be at any given moment. And, you know, we all have various voices that we lean into, or our go-to voices, even, you know, somebody who has their silly voice when they talk to their friends or to a pet, right? And as a voiceover artist, it's just a matter of having that sense of freedom of play to explore all the variety of characters that you can do. When you get into character voices, you get to turn the dial up a little bit more, be a little bit larger than life, which is a lot of fun.
What kinds of people are coming to the voice acting class? Are you getting people who are already actors, or are you getting people who are just like, oh, I think I'll try this?
Yes, we get both. We get a whole slew of folks that are signing up for classes. The students come from various levels of experience, from beginner, I've never done it before, to in high school, I was in theater and always wanted to do it and have come back, or I'm continuing my craft and I'm working locally as an actor and just wanted to expand my abilities and my opportunities. So that's really kind of a wonderful thing. What was really awesome was when we did the first one, it sold out almost immediately.
And why do you think it's so popular right now?
I think voiceover has always had a bit of a dangled carrot concept where people just love the idea of being able to, I don't know, one, work in your pajamas and record, two, the excitement itself. A lot of people looking at where they are in their life. And I see a lot of people that have a sense of they missed an opportunity and they want to come back around to it to see what's possible for them.
What is a main lesson that you try to teach people who are wanting to do this?
One thing ultimately is to have that thick skin. It's a world of a lot of rejection, right? Whether it's on stage or on camera or it's VO, that you're going to submit a lot, and you'll have some that hit and some that don't. And you have to know that your journey as an artist is going to be completely different than anybody else's. So you have to trust that you're doing the right thing. You have to have a sense of play that is there with you as you're doing it as well. Because if you're thinking about the paycheck, if you're thinking about the end results, you're going to lose sight in just telling the story and having fun being that storyteller.
Was there anything in particular you kind of wanted to talk about?
If you're interested in checking out some classes at the Denver Center for the Performing Arts, go to our website at denvercenter.org, hit the education tab, and you'll be able to navigate from there.
Is there a voice that you would feel comfortable doing that you love, like one of your go-to or just your favorite voices that a character
could go into? Put me on the spot there, Benita.
All right.
There's so many voices that come out of me. I never can tell what's going to happen. Oh, my. Don't be silly. I just never know what's going to come to and fro. But I love the ability to play.
That was great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
And thanks to Benita Lee for that interview. That's going to do it for today's Morning Magazine. Up next are the BBC News headlines, followed by How on Earth.
BBC News with Chris Barrow. Heavy police deployments have been made in the southern US city of Miami ahead of Donald Trump's appearance in court. He'll face charges of hoarding secret documents after he left the White House. Mr. Trump's supporters are gathering in the city. Miami's Republican mayor has appealed for calm. The US inflation rate has fallen for the 11th month in a row to 4%. The figures have increased hopes that the Federal Reserve Bank will not raise interest rates later this week. France says it's uncovered a huge disinformation campaign, most likely conducted by Russia and aimed at inciting hostility against Ukraine. The French Foreign Minister, Catherine Colonna, said it involved the posting online of bogus articles. They were made to look as if they were from French news organisations. Japan's Prime Minister, Fumio Kishida, has unveiled a range of measures to reverse the declining birth rate. There'll be more financial support for parents and a campaign to change cultural attitudes. British police have arrested a man on suspicion of murder after three people were found dead in the city of Nottingham. Counter-terrorism officers have joined the investigation. The embattled Prime Minister of Kosovo, Albin Kurti, has announced fresh local elections for Serb-majority areas after weeks of unrest sparked by the election of Albanian mayors in a vote boycotted by Serbs. Prosecutors in Uganda have dropped all charges against a traditional monarch, King Charles Wesley Mumbere, and his followers, who were accused of trying to create a breakaway nation. The International Vaccine Alliance, Gavi, says childhood immunisation rates for routine diseases have started recovering. They fell sharply during the pandemic. And the Spanish and Brazilian football federations have announced plans for a friendly game to combat racism. It follows the abuse directed at the Brazilian footballer Vinicius Jr. by Spanish fans. BBC News.
Support comes from the Regional Air Quality Council, dedicated to improving air quality in the Front Range. The RAQC works with communities to reduce harmful ground-level ozone. More information about how to sign up for summer ozone alerts by text or email can be found at simplestepsbetterair.org.
Support comes from the Fisk Planetarium on the CU Boulder campus. Kids of all ages can explore the universe this summer with our full dome matinees. More info at colorado.edu/FISKE or by calling 303-492-5002.